broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August 28th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, the blueprint for liberty live and well in America. Oh, it's under assault. There's no doubt about that, but it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, the Republican National Convention just ended. A week ago, the Democratic National Convention just ended, and wow, it's a barn burner comparison, to say the least. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, spread the word, donate today, would you please? Every penny will grow our presence in the media. And man, I don't even know if I had to talk about the previous day's news. I'll try to be really quick about this here. We had our guest on, Mr. Brian Russ, RussQuinn and Gift.com. We talked about the Honest Money Report. We talked about Juliet Jackson, Jacob Blake's mom, rips the rioters and praises Trump. We talked about, could the dollar lose its global status? Absolutely. We talked about a persistent weakening of the dollar is going to cause inflation and everything else. We talk about welcome to a laptop shortage, thanks to, they blame it on President Trump's trade tariffs and the coronavirus. We talked about Becky Falwell confirms sexual relationship and said Jerry had nothing to do with it. Wow, interesting. She also says, when are people going to be Christian and forgive and let us change and repent? Amen. I agree with her. Not with the mistakes that have been made, but with the repentance idea and the change idea. We need to be Christian about this, don't we? I guess Jerry Falwell reportedly entitled to a $10.5 million payout. Why? Because there's no real direct allegations against him. There's no proof. There's no real formal accusation of wrongdoing, if you will. Anyway, that was our 1 hour two. We had our guest on, Mr. Pete Sepp, president of the National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. We talked about the choice is ours. Communist tyranny versus a capitalist republic, huh? We talked about how employees may be affected by the payroll tax executive order for President Donald Trump. We talked about Paul Biggs' legislation would expand HSA options for millions as healthcare savings account options. We talked about NTU, that's the National Taxpayers Union, endorses seven bills from the RSC Gear Task Force is what it's called. Anyway, great stuff. We then finished up by talking about a term I created called Pass the Seven. NTU endorses seven good government bills. Yeah, Pass the Seven is what I was calling it. We had to create a great slogan. We, the American people, have got to get involved in making a difference and doing something, that's for sure. And that's a recap of yesterday's show. Still available at LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You are very welcome. The good Sheriff Richard Mack back with us as well. Welcome back, sir.
Mac is back. Thanks for having me this beautiful Friday morning,
sir. All right. Did you watch the whole big old convention, Sheriff?
I did.
And?
That was the first time I've watched a political convention. Probably took in 90% of it. That's the first time. I got a little bit distracted while President Trump was speaking, but I will say I thought it was just like everybody else has been saying, it was too long. I thought he was not President Trump-esque. I thought he was a little bit reserved. And I thought his children did better than he did.
You thought Trump's children did better than Trump did?
Yep.
All right.
Tiffany was really good. I thought Donald Jr. was pretty good. I thought Ivanka was wonderful. I thought she was amazing. I thought she said great things. Trump really should have been half as long as it was. I thought it was a little bit boring, but I liked what he said. I like what he said. I like that he went after Biden 41 times. He mentioned Biden. And he went after the Democrats, and he went after the violence, and he went after how horrible the Democrats have run their cities. And I turned it to CNN real quick, and as soon as, of course, you got there to CNN, they were blaming Trump for everything, just like they always have. But they're blaming him for the violence in the cities. And I find that, Democrat-esque, because they never take responsibility for anything they do, and they're trying to say that Trump does that. Trump did take responsibility for the things that he has done, keeping his word, keeping his promises. And I thought the contrast, as you alluded to, Sam, between the two parties was absolutely stark. It was phenomenal. This is the first time I've ever said there's a clear difference between the Democrats and Republicans. And I believe Trump is responsible for that, and God bless him for it. He mentioned God. The RNC has made it extremely clear that they're anti-abortion. That makes me want to tell Jeff Flake and Mitt Romney, both of you deserve to be excommunicated from the church you belong to. You're liars. You're anti-American. You're pro-abortion. You're pro-gun control. You're pro-Marxist. And both of you should be ashamed of yourselves.
All right. There you go. That's the summary for the good Sheriff Richard Mack. Kurt, you want to chime in?
Well, I didn't see everybody. I only really watched the president. I heard some of the different speakers on some of the other nights, that kind of thing. And I'm sure as the president, or as Sheriff Mack says, that the president's children did great work and that kind of thing. I know that at least I think at this kind of event compared to a normal rally for the president, you know, he's doing a lot more reading off the, what do you call it?
Yeah, he did the teleprompter last night.
Yeah, the teleprompter deal, you know, so that makes it less... less of a, entertaining kind of thing. And yet, he hit on a whole bunch of points, things that he and his administration have completed, keeping their promises or his promises. I kept thinking, man, you know, this is so different than typically. I mean, typically I just hear this cool stuff and then, the next election is like, well, they said that last time, but I didn't see any of that get done, you know. I just kept thinking, man, it's sure nice to actually be able to watch somebody who did it, you know, got it done. And, at least I'm very hopeful there'll be a whole lot more, you know, because like you said, the best is yet to come. And
also, Alex Johnson spoke last night.
Oh, okay. I missed that part too as well. Abby Johnson, at least I read her stuff and then listened to some of that, and like Sheriff Mack says on the whole abortion thing, and you've highlighted that so many times, Sam, is that is such a key difference. And it's so refreshing to hear somebody who doesn't just give lip service to it, who's really working on it and highlighting it, bringing people like Abby Johnson to the forefront. So it was beautiful, just like when we were standing there on the White House lawn, Sam, and for that inauguration, there it was basically at that spot where they were doing it. We were at the Capitol is where we were. But all I'm saying is the pomp and circumstance is really cool with the good flags all over. And,
I told my wife, I said, boys, that the Democrats are going to be mad today as soon as it
was
over.
Well, that's right. And they attacked President Trump big time for using the White House, saying that he's mixing his election versus his politics. And they've done that for decades, number one. But number two, it's weird. If he tries to go somewhere and hold an event, they say he's going to kill everybody because he can't have people there. Then he has it at the White House. And then they say, oh, he's mixing politics. And I mean, you just can't win with these people. Is the point.
Well, you knew they were going to go after him for social distancing, no mask. And it was, I was laughing at it all. Oh, the Democrats are going to go nuts.
And then President Trump had a lot of zingers in his speech. I think his speech was better than he's getting credit for. And the reason I say that is I get that it was a lot of ho-hum and a little bit boring in many ways. And there's a lot of things that I'm not sure I agree with in it, and et cetera. But I will say there are little lines. If you go read the speech in detail, there are little lines that just knock it out of the park. And that's what I mean by I don't know that he gets credit for it like he should. Let me give you an example to make the point. He says, let's see. Biden also vowed to oppose school choice and close all charter schools, ripping the ladder of economic opportunity for Black and Hispanic children. See, that's a very good headline. Hey, tying that to choice.
Yeah.
Right. He then goes on and says the party he leads supports the late term of abortion of defenseless babies right up until the moment of birth. Democrat leaders talk about moral decency, but then they have no problem stopping the heart in the ninth month of pregnancy. Wow.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Not only did he double down in pro-life big time and highlight the contrast like you wouldn't believe on the pro-life versus pro-death reality, he then talked about every child has a God-given right to life. That is a tremendous statement from the president that I haven't even heard from Reagan to that direct of a point. So you got to give him credit. Then he went off and spent time talking about the police. And he talked about the police, for the most part, doing a great job. Yes, if there's wrongdoing by the cops, we need to stop that big time. And then he says, hey, we can stop the rioting in the streets and all these, you know, Democrat-controlled cities. And then he went on to say, you know what, call us in, we'll help, but we've got to wait for the call. We can solve this in minutes, but we've got to wait for the call. It's too bad, but we've got to wait for the call. Highlighting the reality. They want you to believe that President Trump doesn't care about checks and balances. But this restraint, in my personal opinion, proves he does understand to a great degree. Anyway, he was very, in my opinion, striking a very proper tone on the relationship with the police. The majority of them are great people doing a good job. Yes, if they're out of control, they need to be stopped. But let's not let the streets go to rioting. Let's understand that the cops right now are afraid to do their jobs. They'll lose their pensions. They'll lose their jobs. They'll get, you know, they'll get sideways with the public. They'll, and he said, we've got to stop that. We've got to restore. For the most part, he struck the correct tone on the police, Sheriff Mack. I wish he would have talked about the importance of constitutional sheriffs. And we don't need appointed police groups that are tied into politics. You know, he didn't go as far as I would have gone on the point, but he did a pretty good job of striking a balance there. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. He did do some fantastic zingers, and he did make some good points. You know, comparatively speaking, I thought it was actually a pretty good speech. For Trump, I didn't think it went that well for him. But and you're absolutely correct. If you read the speech, it is powerful. And again, I probably should be saying it's the best speech ever given by a president because of the things you've just alluded to, especially his dedication to the unborn in this country, his dedication to life. He's not trying to play the middle of the road. He's not trying to be a politician, just as Ivanka said. He's not a politician. He will tell it like it is. And so the credit really goes to Donald Trump. And because of that, I am absolutely 100% voting for Trump. I'm supporting Trump. I'll probably donate to Trump, even though that kind of is weird because he didn't really do donations last time. I mean, he did some, but, you know, he has a lot more money than I do. But the thing of it is, I am totally dedicated to his platform. It's one of life. It's one of religious liberty. Him not and the people not being masked, probably to the tune of 95-98% of the crowd not being masked, I thought was a terrific example to us all. It is our choice. It is not government's choice. It is ours. And so I totally supported every bit of that, what he did and what he showed last night. And I thought it took tremendous leadership. And again, I want to compliment his children. I sent a personal note to Marla, Tiffany's mother, saying how wonderful Tiffany did. I thought she was a great orator. All the kids were very polished.
Yeah, they're very articulate. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I really thought it was a come-together moment for the Trump family and for the American people.
Well, and symbolizing, you know, what the nation could be as a family, which is one of the points he made at the start of his speech. Now, listen, he also said, hey, last year over 1,000 African Americans were murdered as a result of violent crime in just 4 Democrat-run cities. And in fact, the top 10 most dangerous cities in our country are run by Democrats and have been for many decades.
Yeah.
Joe Biden and the left ignore these American victims. I never will. Anyway,
no,
he goes on. But that's an interesting statement to make because it's you can't argue all the trouble is happening in these places. And I'm not one to usually take the Republican side. I usually say, hey, it's the swamp against us.
Right.
But in this case, it's hard to argue the contrast.
Yeah, and I really liked how he went after Trump, Biden. He's been in Washington, and they all did. A lot of them did it. He's been in Washington, D.C., or he's been in politics for 47 years. Just what do you think he's going to do now that he hasn't already done? He's not going to do anything different than he's already done. And if you look at Biden's record, which they really went after also, I thought that was way out of the park. I thought it's a huge contrast. Anybody who is seriously trying to decide which man to vote for, I thought last night should have put him over to the Trump side. It was powerful talking about Biden's record, his career politician crap, the dishonesty of his children, the millions and millions of dollars going to Hunter Biden because of his last name. Everybody knows, even the Democrats can't do anything to justify that stuff. They just go back to blaming Trump for everything. And if anybody were to look at this halfway impartially, they have to be totally supporting Trump by now. I thought Alice Johnson was wonderful, and then Abby Johnson the day before, just absolutely astonishingly principled, religious, pro-family, pro-life, pro-America, a positive feeling that America is the greatest country on the face of the planet. I thought the fireworks afterward were amazing, and I just kept saying over and over, oh, the Democrats are going to be just going nuts. And they sure are, and let them. I am so sick and tired of the Democrats and their lies. And I mean, Adam Schiff is probably the most shameless person on the face of the planet. He just goes from one lie to another.
All right, now here's what President Trump says. He says, hey, this is the most important election in our lifetime, basically. Now, I usually disagree with that because every election they say that, right?
Yeah.
However, he went on, and I have to agree with this part, though. Listen up. There has never been such a difference between two parties or two individuals in ideology, philosophy, or vision than there is right now. Now, I have to agree with that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are we, a depraved nation just full of destruction, like the Democrats say, or a wonderful positive nation like the president says? I think there's some truth to both claims. But the question becomes, hey, if there's truth in both claims, how do we acknowledge the trouble we're in with Biden's claims, but yet acknowledge the solution we're in with Trump's claims and solutions? I mean, isn't that really what we're talking about?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, Sam.
Because look, when Obama and Biden and all those guys say, hey, we got a horrible nation with violence and this, there's a lot of truth to it.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Okay, and so then you got to say why, and what are the solutions out of it? And that's where I say, hey, you got to agree with Biden that, hey, things are messed up. But I don't think Biden has any solutions, really. He basically crafted his only, quote, plan for solutions with Bernie Sanders, of all people.
Well, and he finally acknowledged the violence, what, 2 days, 3 or 4 days after the DNC? You know, his handlers are just, I tell you what, they're just tripping over themselves trying to play catch-up with Trump this time.
Yeah, now he talked about pioneers from dawn till dusk that built this country. He said these pioneers didn't have money. They didn't have fame, but they did have each other. They loved their families. They loved their country. And they loved their God. When opportunity beckoned, they picked up their Bibles. They packed up their belongings, climbed into their covered wagons, and set out west for the next adventure. Anyway, this is what I mean. He's got some great, great lines in this speech. It is packed full, well over an hour. Biden only spoke 24 minutes.
Well, he gets sleepy, you know.
Sleepy Joe just can't help it there, Kurt. Anyway, Donald Trump is very good at painting a picture of what he envisions the future to be, huh, Kurt?
Well, I think so. And I mean, one other thing, somebody might just say, look, President just ran a marathon. Biden just barely walked, 100-yard dash. And, look at the two, compare them.
Do you think they'll actually have a debate? Quick pause on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump accepting the Republican nomination last night as the Republican National Convention wrapped up. He said there has never been such a difference between two political parties in America than there is today.
We want our sons and daughters to know the truth. America is the greatest and most exceptional nation in the history of the world.
A huge civil rights march is taking place today on this 57th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous I Have a Dream speech in Washington, D.C. Among those headed that way is this man from Harlem, New York.
There's a lot of things going on affecting the community, specifically the African-American community, and it's very necessary for our presence.
Several speeches are planned at the event, including from Martin Luther King III and the Reverend Al Sharpton. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Douglas Kratt, veterinarian and president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Many states across the country have recently legalized marijuana for medical or recreational use. Veterinarians have seen a spike in poisoning in pets. Marijuana affects pets much differently than it affects people. THC, the main ingredient of marijuana, can make our pets scared or very sick. If you have marijuana or edibles in the house, please keep them out of reach. And when walking with your pets, make sure they don't pick up anything you don't expect. Concerned your pet has gotten into pot? If they appear off balance, rigid, nervous, or if they're drooling or dribbling urine, vocalizing, having seizures, please get them to the veterinarian immediately. There's no antidote for marijuana, but a veterinarian can provide supportive care until it passes. For more information on keeping your pets happy, healthy, and safe, visit avma.org. That's avma.org.
A 17-year-old accused of shooting three people, killing two of them during protests in Kenosha, Wisconsin, has formally been charged with two counts of homicide, as well as charges of attempted homicide and reckless endangerment. They say that Kyle Rittenhouse is from Illinois, but he's told police he was in Kenosha, hoping to protect businesses during protests over the weekend police shooting of Jacob Blake. Top Trump advisor Jared Kushner says the administration is proud of how it's responded to the pandemic. Kushner says the virus is about people's well-being and not about politics.
I just don't think it's helpful to the public for people to be politicizing this. You have people who are dying. You have a lot of hardship. You have people who have lost jobs. You have people who are scared. And quite frankly, I think a lot of the political division that is being caused by people who are criticizing the response is creating more division.
Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is stepping down from that post because of health issues. And this is USA Radio News.
All right, he even endeavored to say we went to the moon. You know, he talked about everything, over 6,000 words, spoke for over an hour, a packed speech from the humble beginnings of the greatest nation on the planet to the incredible achievements accomplished. President Trump is very good at painting a picture of the future and of the accomplishments of America. That's no doubt. Anyway, very interesting contrast conventions. The Democrat convention was very negative, very fall on your sword kind of an idea. The Republican convention was opposite. It was full of hope and faith and good people saying a lot of good things, from Ben Carson and many others saying President Trump just flat out is not a racist. It's just not true. And telling personal stories about his kindness to others. Now the Democrats tried to fact check the president when the president basically said, hey, you know what? I was the first one to be kind to black people and allow black people to enter clubs and different things. And the Democrats mocked him, and now they're having to admit that it was true. Back in the, 80s or whatever, Mar-a-Lago or whatever was one of the first places to really allow blacks and other people to attend, gays and whatever. And so this idea that the president's just a hater and it's starting to fall on its face. They wanted you to believe that the Democrats had the upper hand in this election, but I think the two conventions back-to-back blew that out of the water, Sheriff.
Yeah, they did. And you keep talking about the contrast, and I think that's the most obvious thing that has happened this year. I think Trump is absolutely correct about this being the most important election, because it's really the decision between Marxism, socialism, communism, and our Constitution, especially pro-life. And I think I'm going to tell you, I was shocked how far Trump went on the life issue. He was just absolutely unafraid. He was totally courageous in standing for what's right. And no one in history has done this. And the doctor nun who spoke about that was absolutely correct. No other president in the history of our country has stood for life like Donald Trump has. I can't say enough about that.
Go ahead, Kurt.
One thing to throw in here, he mentioned how much he loves his children and grandchildren.
Yes.
And I think those connect up, very well with the whole pro-life, thing and the standing for those little babies and that kind of thing. And so it's cool to see a man like him who feels like he said, hey, I had a pretty good life before I decided to leave it and do this.
Well, and that's a huge point, I think. It's funny, but it's a huge point, though. I mean, he's got it right. It's like, what does President Trump need in life?
Yeah, yeah.
Money? Not. Yeah. Fame? Not. Yeah. Well, what does the guy need?
Success in business and building more buildings?
Not. Yeah, so that's what I mean. What does he need by taking this position? You could say, well, it's an accomplishment to put on your, notch of accomplishments. And my response is, I don't know that you need that. And I don't know you go through the attacks and the heck that you're getting for that, would you, Kurt?
Well, and then he even mentioned that real estate deal, that one Israel deal. Remember that? Told him it was supposed to be a $1 billion deal. And
then he's like, hey, we found another building instead and saved a ton of money. Yeah.
Another thing you just touched on it a little bit there, Kurt, that he moved and helped move the embassy to Jerusalem. I mean, look at all the presidents that promised to do that and to promise to show more support for Israel. And he did it. I mean, he just is so spot on trying to keep his promises. The Democrats are just beside themselves. I don't believe that anything else has happened in Washington, D.C. to cause this stark difference between the parties and the vitriol and hate. It's because Trump has exposed what the other side is actually doing. He's actually showing that a president can be apolitical and do what he's supposed to be doing. And I think the mainstream Republicans hate that, and the Democrats even hate it more. He has exposed their swampness and their political beliefs that the people are but tools and pawns in this game of them seeking their power. And it is, I think, astonishing what Trump has done in exposing the deep state.
And add that to the fact that he has been opposed like I've never seen a president be opposed. From the 95% negative, reporting from the big media to what the insiders and the swamp critters and we're like he mentioned, he got spied on by Obama before he was even elected. And he says, we'll see how that goes or whatever, it's just amazing with all that. I mean, just wonder what it would have been like without all that opposition.
I don't really know how to respond to this because it appears like we're just praising the Republicans over the Democrats. But what's interesting about that is
we're praising certain ones, though, Sam.
Well, kind of. Let me explain.
Sheriff Mack took out Jeff Flake, and he took out Romney. His old favorite Romney just tossed him out the clinic. And, I mean, he deserves it, but he took him out.
Yeah, the point that I'm trying to get at is the Republican Party old guard wasn't there. And this is a big, interesting tidbit about the old guard swamp Republican versus the Donald Trump-esque Republican. There's a big contrast and a big separation here, Sheriff.
No Lindsey Graham, no Ted Cruz. How about Mitch McConnell? Was he even there?
Mitch was there, praising what they've been accomplished.
Well, yeah, his wife's on cabinet. That's right.
You know, okay, but but for the most part, the old guard wasn't there. You know, McCain's gone, Flake's gone.
And Romney, he blames Trump for that,
right? Romney wasn't really. I don't know. Romney was kind of more in the Democrat convention a little bit, it seemed.
Right.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that we're not praising the Republican Party, but we are talking about the differences of the individuals who are now there. And that's kind of the point that I'm getting at. Kurt, you want to add to that?
Well, you could call it the new Republican Party, if you will. You know, it seems like it's typically whoever's the leader is basically making things happen. You know, when you compare it to the way it used to be, at least from what I'd see, hey, they'd have that real good stuff in the, what's this thing called? You know, it's like the rules for the Republicans, and yet the leader wouldn't even follow them, you know? Platform. Anyway, they'd have all that cool stuff in the platform, and you'd think, man, that'd sure be wonderful if the president, the senators, and the congressmen would maybe read it. But, you know, in this case, the president's leading out like, I've never seen.
Yeah, rather than look at the new Republican Party, which will turn into the next swamp if we're not careful, I like this idea of looking at individuals. I like to look at what President Trump says as an individual and say, I like that. I don't like that. I think this is wonderful. I'm not sure about that. I'm concerned about this. And then doing the same thing with the different leaders that stand up. Okay, so Ben Carson did a great job, I think. As you mentioned, the abortion gal did a great job. What's her name again?
Abby Johnson.
Abby Johnson did a phenomenal job. You know, I think Mike Pence did a pretty good job, even though he's kind of been, you know, in the swamp for a long time. But he represents the Christian conservative viewpoint in a lot of that. As far from perfect as
Sam,
we all may be.
You'll remember that I talked about Abby Johnson in that movie she did.
Yes.
Quite a bit. Was about 2 years ago.
What was that movie called? Unplanned? Or what was it?
I think it was. I can't remember the name.
Is that what it's called, Kurt?
That's the way I remember it.
All right. So, anyway, my whole point is I like to look at individuals, and I like to say it isn't about the party. It's about the individuals who are in positions of influence to make a difference. It's about those who will talk about God. It's about those who will talk about pro-life. It's about those who realize the American people are in charge. It's about individuals and about their beliefs and their dedication to the principles that make America great. And I really like this shift to individuals and say it doesn't matter if the old guard's gone. What matters is there are individuals who are embracing principles that will make America strong again, Sheriff.
Yeah, that's the power of the whole message of this RNC. And I will tell you, I watched it every night. I wasn't able to watch all the way through on all of them, but I kept the TV on the whole time, and I thought it was entertaining. I thought it was powerful. I thought it was principle-based, and I'm telling you, I really liked it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, quick pause. More to discuss. You're listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org. Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
The one big reason that I don't want to talk about a new Republican Party, because I believe parties lead to swamps and I believe parties are the problem. But I also believe there's a lot of individuals who are not part of the swamp who are making a big difference. You look at Donald Trump Jr., for instance, or Eric Trump. You look at Melania. You look at Ivanka. And you could say, you know, those people haven't been really swamp monster people at all. And many of them have a lot of great ideas and a lot of great work. Look at a Ben Carson. You look at some of the, what's that guy's name, Kurt, that is running for office to take out the only Democrat in Utah, for instance?
Burgess Owens.
Okay. You look at a guy like that, and you go, okay, you know what? I was always wondering in the Republican Party, I mean, who are they going to draw from? Who the heck? The Republican Party's dead, because who are they going to draw from? The swamp? What are you going to do, get a Jeff Flake up there? What are you going to do, get a Mitt Romney up there? I mean, come on. And so I just felt like the Republican Party had no prayer, because everybody around was just disaster. I mean, as bad as the Democrat stuff. Oh, now they're endorsing the Democrats. Makes sense, doesn't it? But now there's a whole new breed of people. I don't know if breed's the right word. A whole new group of people with different viewpoints that have now started to coalesce around the president, who... they don't have the swamp creature views. Now, if we're not careful, they'll evolve into that. And we got to make sure that does not happen. But it is about individuals. It's about new blood. It's about new opportunities. It's about viewing the Republican platform as it was intended. And really,
you know,
the interesting thing
perfect...
is I agree a lot with the Republican platform. I don't agree with how they're just ignoring it, Kurt.
And it might be a perfect time to bring up Mike Pence, Sam. You know,
I brought up Mike Pence a few minutes ago, but sure.
Well, maybe I wasn't paying close attention like I should have.
I was mentioning that he represents the Christian conservative folks in the party.
Well, and we've talked about him before. I mean, when did you ever hear of a politician, in Washington say, look, I can't go to these drinking parties or whatever unless I got my wife with me. And then they, tell him he's a wimp because he has to go take his wife with him. You know, I mean, and then how many of these people can learn from what the president's doing? I hope.
Well, in this case,
that,
what the vice
like
president's
said,
doing, right?
Yeah, or both.
Sure,
but
of course.
What I'm saying is, you know, like the president said, hey, we have this good man here, Mike Pence and his wife, it's just cool to see. And then of course there's Ben Carson surrounding him, doing prayer stuff on Capitol Hill. I mean, it's not been this good, at least in my lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, it's even way beyond Reagan. And that's kind of my point, is that it's individuals doing this, and it's the platform. It's not the old guard, it's not the swamp, it's not the party, it's ideas and people willing to back those ideas, and individuals who have the guts to stand, Sheriff.
Yeah, and I think I don't think we've mentioned one speaker who I think was one of the best, if not the best, and they should be playing his over and over. And that was the Attorney General from Kentucky. He happens to be black. He said and was proud to be up there speaking as a black. And his shout out, his call out, not shout out, his confrontation towards Biden and Biden's racist remarks about how blacks should all be voting for him, and how he stood up and said, yes, I'm black and I'm not voting for you because I am voting the right way.
Is it Daniel Cameron?
Yes.
All right, that's the former football player too, right?
I didn't remember him being a football player, but, you know, but I'm sure they...
Yeah, he's
the
51st Attorney General of Kentucky, former football player, just so you know. Go ahead, okay. Sir.
I didn't know that part, but maybe I didn't hear that, but he was so articulate, and he was so powerful, and he's the future rock star of the Republican Party, what everybody was saying, and I absolutely thought he was the most powerful speaker in the whole thing. He really rocked it, and he put Biden in his place. I don't think anybody put Biden in his place better than he did.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody did it better, but I will say this, Ben Carson did a pretty good job too now.
You know, and that was one I did not see.
Ben Carson just comes across so professional, so humble, but yet, anyway, to me, the guy's quite dignified. The guy does a good job. He's not the most eloquent speaker on the planet, but yet, you know what? He's not negligent in that department. He just doesn't have maybe some of the flair that others have. But he has a solid steadiness and a way of highlighting this. For example, he talks about how he was growing up, and his mom said, listen, you're not to think of yourself as a victim, son. You're just not to think of yourself that way. You got to think of yourself as a son of God, a success. And Ben articulates this in a way that, even though he may not be the most eloquent speaker or the most passionate speaker compared to others, he brings home real truths that just cut straight to the heart, and you go, he's right. Good point. I understand. Amen. Hey, how do we get that to the rest of the community? Kind of an idea, Gert.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
And what was his name? His last name's Cameron, right?
Well, that other guy's Cameron, Daniel Cameron, yeah.
Right.
This guy is Ben Carson, you know.
Well, yeah,
I was just talking about.
I think you've alluded to what was the reason why Ben Carson didn't do well as a politician. He's so mild-mannered and he just really doesn't have much passion or personality when he speaks. I've always liked him, and he says really great stuff, but he's just not charismatic.
Well, and then he was up. The only time he ran for office, he's up against President Trump.
Yeah,
good point.
Just imagine that.
Well,
Ted Cruz is very passionate. But
yeah, Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, very good orators. And I'm not saying Ben Carson can't hold his own and give a good speech. I'm not suggesting that.
Oh, he can.
He can, no question. And he's smart. Smart as all
like
get out.
Like when he was up against Obama at that event with the two of them. You know, when you see that, you think, man, I'd take Ben Carson over Obama anytime.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and Ben Carson would have been the real black president. He's all black, right, from what I understand, not just half black there.
Great point, Sam.
I mean, you know, because if we're going to talk about how much somebody's Indian, we got to talk about how much somebody's black, don't we?
For sure.
You know, and also, if you want to illustrate the differences in the party thing, you watch that deal where after the event, Rand Paul's trying to leave you know, with his wife and several other ladies, and they get surrounded
scary.
By a bunch of hoods that are just yelling and screaming, and they got all, you know, and of course everybody is masked up, so then you can't even tell who they are. Like one guy, you can hardly even see their eyes, you know, in the streets of D.C. This is midnight, you know, and,
yeah.
You know, you're just in a dangerous place with a bunch of dangerous criminals. And, you know, you just, I mean, it illustrates the problem.
Yes, it does. And I think there's a lot of difference there, and I wanted to highlight that difference, but I want to focus on the individuals, and I want to focus on the principles that the difference relates to, not just the party, because really we could do without the parties. We cannot do without the principles, and we cannot do without heroes, individuals standing up for those principles. And I think that's what we need to highlight and kind of back and focus on. And I, you know, I understand there's a difference in the parties right now, and I get it and everything, but I want to be very clear. I don't back parties. I do back principles and I do back individuals, and I praise them when they're right and good, and I reject them when they're bad and wrongheaded, etc. And I want to always be the guy that highlights that difference, because I think it's really, really important to understand, right? And President Trump talked a lot about vaccines, which I disagree with. He's talking about bringing a vaccine to market and having we, the taxpayers, pay for it. And then the debate really comes down to how much force will there be for us to take the vaccines? I mean, that's another question that really, in my mind, wasn't mentioned enough, or, you know, not highlighted enough about, hey, the Democrats are going to force you to take a vaccine for sure. If you don't believe me, there's a massive battle shaping up in Virginia over mandatory vaccines right now. The Democratic governor there whacked out and said he's going to, the governor's, I guess, on the fence, but the Democratic legislative body say we're going to force everybody to take vaccinations. The question is, you know, the Republicans need to stand up and say we don't believe in force. You know, and if,
well,
if they
at least
want to articulate
the one thing
they think vaccines are good, let them. That's fine.
They've shown that with the mask thing, so I'm hoping that that'll just carry over to the vaccine.
Well, when you say
well,
they, I don't know. So President Trump has done a phenomenal job. That's right. He hasn't forced
these
vaccines.
Right.
But our governor's a thug, and he's forcing masks on everybody and putting fines to it. He's a Republican, Kurt. That's my point, is you got to look at individuals, because he should
That's
follow Trump's
point.
Lead, Kurt.
He's trying to do too much Romney in the state of Utah.
Well, and that's why we got to say, I reject Romney, and I reject what Governor Gary Herbert's doing. At first, he did quite well. Now he's kind of caved to the Democrat style of force and abuse, whereas President Trump, in my opinion, is setting the right standard on masks. Don't you think, Sheriff? Which is, hey, it's good to wear them. You should. And by all means, you should be free to choose as you will. But here's what the data is saying. And I'll wear them on, in certain circumstances. But for the most part, I won't. And he's doing what he wants to do. He's letting the science, you know, people battle that out, but he's not using force, showing incredible restraint.
Yeah, he has, and he's been very measured on the, all of that. And even though he's touting vaccinations, he certainly has never talked about forcing people to do so, and that would be out of character for him, the way he's approached the entire coronavirus hype. He's been very measured, and I think he's shown amazing leadership. And what are we getting from Biden? He wants to shut everything down again. Let me tell you, they're
and he also has already said he is going to force masks, even outdoors on everybody.
Well, and if you look at Hawaii, I've had people calling me from Hawaii. Had another one last night. It's kind of scary, astonishing. They're shutting down Hawaii for the third time. And they're killing Hawaii. They're literally killing Hawaii over this pandemic, and or I should say just over this coronavirus. And they're trying to do that to the rest of the country in a lot of ways. It really makes me sad to see that they're so willing to take such drastic and extreme measures to kill a virus while they're killing the country. They're literally killing Hawaii.
And I'll tell you something else Hawaii. They're killing, too, is the NBA's killing itself. And, you know, I mean.
Yeah,
I won't
watch NBA anymore. And I used to be a big fan. You guys all know I'm very into sports. And across the floor is Black Lives Matter, permanently painted on the NBA floor. And all the players are disavowing the national anthem, and it just sickens me how far they've taken this. It does sicken me to see police even now still shooting innocent people. But you know what? Go after them just like they have been. And I so admire the Blake family, who has come out and said our son would hate. What's going on? He's against violence. We're against violence. Everybody needs to stop this. And they don't listen.
Incredible talk radio, ladies and gentlemen. Stay there. Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. Kurt Crosby, localhoneyman.com. Check it out. The Good Sheriff, CSPOA.org. Check it out. And yours truly, lovingliberty.net. We the people can save America. But it'll happen by individuals and through principle, won't it?